Please be seated. In the earliest days of the church, St. Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul recalled that long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God has given us his very own Son. I ask you to imagine that tonight for the very first time. I suppose that's the primary purpose of Christmas, this yearly festival of the celebration of Christ's birth. It's a night to start fresh. It's a night to excite our imaginations. And it's a night to learn about love all over again. The birth of God's own Son into this human world, the birth of God to a human mother, taking on our human nature. God's power, all of God's essential qualities behind the whole of the created universe, well, it wasn't, it turns out, some impersonal architecture. It wasn't a mathematical formula. It was not an algorithm. But a small, helpless child who could be held and nurtured and loved and adored. This baby, this infant born into such humble and precarious circumstances, is in fact the Creator God, eternal, for whom there was no beginning and there is no end, and who has miraculously come into our world as a human being. And this night is a night to celebrate the miraculous. It's a night to celebrate the miraculous as the grounding of our faith in God. We proclaim from the earliest days of the church a God who has created the universe in all of its intricacy, a God who has made all that is. And then we proclaim the Christmas event. A miracle that God did not finish his creation and walk away from the human condition, but he has come to us, and he has dwelt with us, and he has become flesh and blood. In our tradition in the Episcopal Church, we speak often of the incarnation, that God became human, has taken on our human nature. The Word became flesh. St. Augustine declared that the incarnation is in fact the central miracle asserted by Christians. He said that every other miracle prepares for this, or exhibits this, or results from this. Jesus' teaching, his ethical pronouncements, were not the main point of this miracle, and none of that makes any sense when it is separated from the miracle that God has come among us and taken on our human nature. We are a people of the incarnation. Jesus himself offered this up to us over and again. In Matthew chapter 18, we're told that Jesus placed a child among the people and called us to become like little children, that we might enter the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said, whoever takes the lowly position of a child becomes the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's amazing, because that's exactly how God gives himself to us tonight. He gives himself in love, as love, to the world. He places himself among us as a little child. Did all this happen such a long time ago, in such a quaint and bygone era? I don't think so. No, not really. The Episcopal theologian William Porcher Dubose described the incarnation, by which he named the whole of us, the whole body of Christ, the church. He claimed that we were very, very new. Just a century ago, Dubose wrote that the church is still in its infancy, taking its baby steps, taking what he called its first baby steps. Now, even at the age of 2 millennia, the incarnation, the body of Christ, the church has plenty in common with this babe in the manger that we've just heard about. Lots of life left in it, lots of growth remaining ahead of it. May each of us, the whole body of Christ, the whole of the church, be like a child placed among the people in this world. And tonight, in a broken and hurting world, allow us to see ourselves as very young, our mission quite new, our future ahead of us very broad and sustained by a God who has shown us such miraculous grace, a God who has shown us in the Christ child that love is the supreme virtue, a God who has come to us at such a distance, given himself to us so fully. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.